Hi, this is Michael Klosser. I'm here today with another lesson out of the scriptures. I always like reading the scriptures, and I like to let the scripture speak for itself. And then when we learn what the scripture is saying, then we'll make our decision how it relates to the human realm. Amen. So, I'm in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, and I'm going to be beginning in verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom do you say that I am? You know, that's a good question for everybody. Who do you say I am? How do people deal with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Who do you say he is? You know, people will try to dismiss the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, try to dismiss him as just a man. But he cannot be dismissed as just a man. He's the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as well as the Son of Man. You know, he came to earth as a human being. He held the office, so to speak, of a human being and functioned as a human being that's in right relationship with God. All throughout the Gospels, you'll hear Jesus referring to himself as the Son of Man. In other words, I'm part of the offspring of humanity. I'm part of mankind. And then another part of him says he's also the Son of God. So he's the Son of God combined with the Son of Man. And that's the same office you and I hold when we're in right relationship with God. We hold the same office. We have God inside of us, and we're human beings also. Combo unit. Amen. And really, that's what people need to say when they say, who is Jesus Christ? Who was Jesus Christ? Well, he was a man, but he was also God in combination. Amen. So Jesus is asking his disciples, and he said, who do people say I am? And they said, well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, or one of the prophets, Jeremiah maybe. And Jesus says, well, who do you say I am? And boy, that's the decision that needs to be asked of our lives as Christians in this world. Who do you say he is? Amen. And Simon Peter answered and said, verse 16, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the anointed one, the Son of the living God. See, the name Christ fulfills a prophecy. The prophecy called for an anointed one to come, somebody that God had anointed and empowered with his own ability. And that person that was meant to come, a prophet that was meant to come or called into the future to come, is the Christ. So Simon Peter says, you're the Christ. You're the one. You're the anointed prophet. This is a God class decision. This is a God level of decision. And Peter went there. He says, you're the Christ. That's it. You are the Christ. Verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Blessed art thou, Peter. You are blessed because you didn't receive this from people. You didn't hear it from people. But it was revealed to you by my Father which is in heaven. Amen. See, this is the thing that's going to separate Christians from every other religion there is in the world. Here Peter had heard from the Father, and he heard from Father God explaining to him that Jesus is the Christ. He is the anointed one that you've been looking for. And blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, because God has revealed something to you. See, Jesus could say somewhat the same thing. He could say something the same as, my Father in heaven revealed it to me. The words that I speak unto you, they're not my words. They're coming from the Father who sent me. If you've seen me or if you hear what I'm saying, you're hearing the Father because I only do the will of my Father. Amen. That's what empowers a human being to be right with God and to be empowered by God. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, because you stepped over into this realm where Father God can reveal things to you and you'll function in the power of God if you'll stay right with him. Amen. Jesus could have said something like, that's what I do, Peter. That's what I do. I hear from God. And then whatever I say, you're hearing what the Father is saying. Whatever I do, you're seeing the Father at work. And he's saying, Peter, you've got the same connection. You've heard from the Father. Now, certainly there was a maturity difference that Jesus had heard from the Father since the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or baptized by John the Baptist, and perhaps even before that. But Simon is just new at this game, so to speak. He's new at this relationship with the Father. He's new at it, but it's the right relationship. You know, all the other relations of flesh and blood, whatever you can learn from humanity, whatever you can learn from other people, is not going to compare with what you can hear from God and the relationship of power and the stepping up into a whole new realm, because now you're functioning with God and not just with people. And Jesus said, you're blessed for doing that, Simon. And I say to anyone here, you're blessed if you'll hear from God. Amen. Verse 18, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, most people are going to automatically interpret this according to the flesh realm and say, well, Peter was the rock, and it is upon this rock that we'll build the church. He's not saying I'm going to build the church on Peter. He said I'm going to build the church on Peter because he has revelation from the Father. I'm going to be building it onto anybody who has a relationship with the Father, anyone who can feel the have the truth of God revealed to them. That's how he's going to build the church. It's not Peter the rock. It's the revelation knowledge that God had brought to Peter. That's the rock that he'd build the church. And the reason I can grab hold of that so quickly is because I know that there's no thing that can arise out of humanity that's going to be the power of God. The only way the power of God can arise out of humanity is if it's God in humanity. Amen. That's where the power is. It's not in people. It's in God in people. And upon this rock, which is the rock of revelation, that's what he'll build upon. He'll build it as if it were a rock, and that rock is revelation. What kind of revelation? It's revelation that comes from the Father. See, this takes human beings completely out of the package. It's God speaking to God. Amen. And if people will honor the Father and honor what he says to do by doing what he says to do, that will build the church. And as far as the enemy is concerned, if the gates of hell will open up against it and say, we're taking this church down, it will not go down when it's founded upon the rock of revelation of God. Amen. That's the victory that will overcome the world. That's the victory that God gives human beings when they will function in relationship with God. Amen. Because the only way they can really function in right relationship with God is to have God inside of them, and then God speaking to them. That sounds like a bit of a puzzle, doesn't it? God is mighty. God is big. See, your born-again spirit is born again of God. It's not God in itself, but it's born again of God. So there's a God quality to your born-again spirit. Amen. That's why it has to be born again. That is, born of God. You become the family of God. That's a better way to say it, perhaps. But see, the whole concept here is Peter is stepping over into the realm of God and beginning to function from the godly realm. And that's what will build the church. That's what will build the church, because the church is the body of Christ. Amen. So verse 19, and I will give unto thee, Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Let me read that to you again. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Do you notice this? He's saying whatever you bind on earth and whatever you bind and whatever you loose on earth. So he says begin in the earth. You're in the earth. Now whatever you bind in the earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose in the earth shall be loosed in heaven. This sounds like pretty good power, doesn't it? And so he's given what appears to be the keys to Peter. However, it's bigger than just Peter. We've known that was a couple thousand years ago when Peter had this. And no one has built anything upon Peter. They build things upon the revelation of the Father. But Jesus is saying, you'll initiate it, Peter. You will initiate it because you're on earth. And whatever you bind on earth, it'll be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, it'll be loosed in heaven. Now, people say, well, that's the key that Peter got. I wish I had that key. No, it's not just to Peter. It's to any born-again believer. Amen. You see, what qualified Peter to receive was that he heard from the Father. Amen. It wasn't because of Peter in his physical realm was anything significant. It was because he'd heard from the Father. And so Jesus is saying, I'm going to build my church. You know, so it's almost to say, even after you're dead and gone, Peter, the church is going to continue to grow, and I'm going to still need people with revelation knowledge from the Father so that they can continue the building of the church, the edifying of the body of Christ. And he tells them, he tells Peter, and he's telling you that whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In other words, he's saying, you're going to have connectivity. Whatever you do in your physical realm, I'm going to show to you the keys of the kingdom, which is connectivity to the spiritual realm. The physical realm that you initiate shall have connectivity to the spiritual realm. Amen. See, I've said this before, but this is the key to the new covenant. This is the understanding of the new covenant. It has to do with the spirit, things of the spirit, spiritual things. Let me say this here in the vernacular. Peter, whatever you mess with on the earth, you're going to have spiritual connections with it. Whatever you tie up on this earth, it'll be tied up in heaven. Whatever you loose in this earth, it'll be loosed up in heaven. You will have connectivity to the spiritual realm in everything you do. Consequently, you'll have a level of responsibility for everything that you do in this physical realm because this physical realm is tied to a spiritual realm. And I'm giving you the key to that concept. You see, don't think of this key as, oh, Peter had the key and nobody else has the key, and so we got to go ask Peter to open the doors for us and stuff. No, he's given him a key as in a level of understanding. A key is not necessarily this metal object that you push in the door and unlock the door. It's not that kind of a key. It's a key of principle. This is the key principle. Just like when Jesus was explaining the parable of the sower sowing the seed, he said, this is the key to this parable. So he said, if you don't understand this, how will you understand any of the parables? So the key to understanding parables is understanding the parable of the sower of the seed. That's the key. Now, the same key that he's talking about there is the same key that he's talking about here. The keys to the kingdom of heaven. He said, this is the key to functioning in the heavenly realm or in the spiritual realm. And this is the key that will show you how this thing functions. It's going to tell you how the keys work. How the kingdoms work. Amen. I'm going to give you the key to understanding how these kingdoms work. Let's continue reading Matthew 16:20. Then Jesus charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. I wonder why not. I think he would rather have the Father reveal it to him. Amen. Instead of flesh and blood, reveal it to him. Verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. So Jesus began to tell them the things that he's going to go through, the suffering that he will go through. And he's going to get turned over to elders and scribes and chief priests, and they're going to arrest him and kill him. But I'll be raised up on the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. In other words, Peter's lining up with the leadership of Jesus Christ. He says, that's not going to happen. I wouldn't let that happen. Lord, you said that you're going to get turned over to the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. I'll not let that happen. There's no way. I'm standing in for you. I'll fight for you, Lord Jesus. I'll lay my life down for you. I won't let that happen. I won't let them take you. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. He just gave Peter an example that he was telling them, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. I'm giving you the keys to understanding the kingdom. And it just happened. And Peter didn't have a clue what happened. Let me restate this. He said, I'm going to be going into Jerusalem and I'm going to suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and I'll be killed and I'll be raised on the third day. And Peter says, no, don't let that happen. Don't let them happen. Don't let them take you out, Lord Jesus. We need you. I'll lay down my life to protect you. Jesus turns and said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus is calling Peter to his face and he's saying, Satan, get behind me. And it happened. Peter had aligned himself on the earth, and because of his alignment on the earth, he had alignment with the spiritual realm. He didn't get it, but I think he gets it. Verse 19, Jesus said unto Peter, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth, in other words, whatsoever you bind yourself to on earth, shall be bound in heaven also. In other words, whatever you bind yourself on earth, you're going to be bound to the spirit that's functioning in that realm as well. You see, the physical realm that we live in is tied intimately with the spiritual realm. And the key to the kingdom is to recognize that fact alone. So whatever you tie yourself to in the physical realm, you're tying yourself to something in the spiritual realm as well, equally. So if you've got a physical flesh thing that you're tying yourself to, you are also tying yourself to the spirit behind that physical realm creation. How should I say it? Whatever is happening in the physical realm has a spiritual element with it. And he's saying the key to the kingdom is that whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. In other words, heaven and earth are tied together, and I'm going to show it to you. So here, Jesus said, I'm going to get beat up by the scribes and Pharisees, and they're going to kill me. And Peter says, don't let that happen. And Jesus turned around and says, you've already bound yourself to the realm of men, and here it is. There's a spirit attached to that. And I'll tell you what spirit is. The spirit is Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan, means, Peter, you've bound yourself to this concept of I will not let Jesus go to the cross. And that is exactly what Satan would have you to do. In this power of binding and loosing, you have attached yourself to Satan because Satan doesn't want Jesus to go to the cross either. Let me rephrase that. Satan does not want people to obey the Father. That's the key. Satan does not want people to obey the Father. Jesus is saying, I'm going to obey the Father. Peter, holding on to the flesh realm, says, no, Lord, don't do it. Don't let that happen. Don't let him take you out. Satan wants people to live in the flesh realm, to make decisions according to the flesh realm, to make their actions and all their behavior be in agreement with the flesh realm, which is exactly what Satan wants you to do. The key to the kingdom is recognize that every time you do, you're attaching yourself to some spirit. In this case, it was the spirit of Satan. So now here's Peter, joined up with Satan, and he ain't got a clue that he's joined up with Satan. Jesus looking right in the eye and said, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, can the devil slip into people's minds that easily? Can the devil come into people's beings and somehow affect their being such that when Jesus looks at him, he says, I can see the devil in that. Let me read verse 23 again. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. That was the dividing line. The Father is desiring the things of the kingdom of God, and Peter is desiring the condition of the kingdom of the realm of men. That's the difference. So I'm sure Peter was feeling like, oh my gosh, he called me the devil. What's he thinking about? I'm sure he was shocked. Can't you just see the blood draining out of his face? Like, oh, what happened? What have I done? What I don't understand. What do I do, Lord? I desire the things of men, but I desire the things of your kingdom even more. So Jesus says in verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You see, taking up the cross means dying off to the physical realm things. Dying off to the physical realm things, because those physical realm things have a spirit attached to them. In this case of Peter, it was Satan himself attached to the concept of preserve the physical realm. God is saying no. Jesus is saying no. And what Jesus said was, if any man decides to come after me, let him pick up his cross and follow me. That is, die to the flesh nature and follow me. See, in this incident, when Jesus gave Peter the keys of binding and loosing, the keys of the kingdom, he said, recognize that there's evil spirits involved. Recognize there's Holy Spirit involved. Whatever you choose to align yourself with, there's going to be a spirit attached to it. And if the thing that you're attaching yourself to promotes or encourages or desires to develop the human being, he said, it'll always be Satan. Satan is attaching himself to develop human beings over God. Verse 25, whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall save it. The decision that Peter was faced with is, I desire to protect the physical of the man. I desire to protect him. And God is saying, no, that old nature has got to go down. It has to be taken to the cross, crucified, and brought into lower status than God. Amen. And this is how you build the kingdom of heaven. It's not built of flesh. It's not built to promote the flesh. It's built to promote the kingdom of God. And the reason you can deal with this now is because you have the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and those keys are going to tell you that you are connected with a spirit. You don't think there's a spirit attached to going out and having some beers and partying and stuff. I would say there is a spirit attached to it. How do I know that? Because Jesus has just given us the keys of the kingdom, saying whatever you come into connection with, you are connected with it spiritually as well. It's not just a physical realm. It's a physical realm controlled by spirits. And so beware, whatever you attach yourself to, you're attaching yourself to the heavenly realm as well. That's the key. Amen.